This is a discussion of a language, not Swahili, not Spanish, nor French, nor is it a discussion of a regional American dialect such as Brooklynese, Southern Mountaineer, or Pennsylvania Dutch. It is a discussion of another American dialect.
Leroy, get on up now. Don't you hear that? You've been tossing and turning all night long. I ain't getting no sleep at all.
We having them oats again.
Eat your breakfast and shut up. TV off.
Hey, Clarence,
you don't snap to look.
Brush your teeth, and I mean good.
Don't slam that door.
You come straight on home now, and don't be coming in here with no jive off the wall stuff.
You a story, baby. You know I come straight on home.
Morning, Mr. Harris.
Morning, Mr. Washington.
How you go today?
So-so. That sky's looking good out there today, though.
Yeah, I think we're gonna get a little sun, all right.
Listen, man, you didn't miss it. George, you know you'd be having $10.
It had been several years since I had been in a barbershop back home. As I sat there, I wondered whether the conversation would have been as rich and lively had I been white. It wouldn't have been, of course. I was accepted. And it was comfortable to be involved again with the language of my culture. I must admit, some of the conversation was going so fast I had trouble catching it. Having been away so long, I was getting out of touch.
Man, this would have been nice seeing you again.
Yeah, like old time. Hey, I think I'll go poke around the neighborhood before going out to the airport. I'll see you next time, though.
Yep, but don't you stay away so long.
Yeah, man.
See ya.
Bye.
The old neighborhood hadn't changed much. What a lousy, miserable place. I walked around some old garbage and got the almost forgotten whiff of what it was like. The fact that it hadn't really changed was depressing. But as a kid, it was home, and somehow the freedom of childhood makes up for a lot of things. I had no trouble recognizing the old school. And it sounded pretty much the same.
Tell me the name of your sweetheart. A, B, C, D, down. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes down with the baby catch.
Pretty funny. Also, strict iambic tetrameter. But I didn't find that out until I took a creative writing course in college.
Would you like a cocktail, sir?
Yes, please. Scotch with a little water. It was good to be on my way again. But I never wanted to forget the ghetto. Whether I liked it or not, it was a big part of me. I resented it deeply, but I can't reject it. I can't forget or reject the sights of the ghetto, the smells of the ghetto, and especially the sounds of the ghetto. You know, I've often wondered how anybody can think that black people are nonverbal. In fact, we talk a lot, especially to one another. It's a recognized fact that black people have a very strong oral tradition. But many white Americans, as well as some blacks, attach a stigma to the black way of talking, rather than considering it as a rich and patterned dialect of English with its own well-established structure. Refusal to accept this as a legitimate mode of expression has long been the practice of many educational systems. The English teacher following this practice becomes the dedicated missionary of middle-class values. His vehicle is the language, and the language means standard English. There is no disagreement that fluency in standard English is necessary for formal communications, but the black child from the ghetto simply isn't learning it. Actually, the teacher is short-circuiting his own goals by rejecting the kid, his culture, and his language.
Read the question. Malik?
What does the master Mavo look like?
Okay.
The ghetto child gets to school speaking the language of the ghetto. He has trouble understanding the teacher because the teacher's not speaking the kind of language he uses, or at least the language he's learning at home where communication is easy.
Charles, how come you keep poking me with them books?
Young man, get your hands off that pot.
Well, stop.
You're gonna burn yourself. Your mouth's about to make me lose my mind.
I ain't need nothing all day.
Go play with them children across the hall. Go on now.
I'm gonna beat you down the hall.
I know
one thing.
You better stop.
Oh, no, you ain't.
Does anyone know the answer to that question? Debbie?
I don't know.
Billy?
I don't know.
Jean?
Generally, by the time ghetto children reach the third grade, they turn off and could care less about school.
I don't know.
You can't get the
clock. Yes, Hank.
And as they grow older, they know full well their speech is different.
That Laverne, she's something else.
Yeah, she like a boy named Willie,
but she don't never say nothing to him.
She act like she be scared of him or something.
But I wonder why she still go around telling everybody he her boyfriend then.
Though their speech might be different, it works. It's their thing and their identity label. Those who have the gumption to stick with school travel in a world of teachers, both black and white, whom they don't understand and who don't understand them. Traditional education seems only to systematically perpetuate their cultural plight.
Good morning, Joseph. You all set for graduation day?
Yeah, it was a mean 4 years, but I made it.
You were one of my best students. We're going to be really sorry to lose you.
You knew math was easy, Miss Williams, because you were a good teacher.
Cut that out, Joseph. Your grades are already in. Do you know what you're going to be doing now?
Yeah, I'm going to look for me some jobs.
Well, let me know if you need any recommendations, because I'll be happy to write you some.
Solid, Miss Williams. I'm going to need some, because I ain't going to get stuck in no factory job.
The young man got his diploma, but he didn't get the language. And when he sits across the desk from the man who might be able to give him a job he wants, they both will be at a tremendous disadvantage.
Mr. Jones is next, Mr. Petrie. Here's his application.
Hello, Mr. Jones. Have a seat.
Thanks.
What's the weather like out? I got in sort of early this morning, and I haven't been out since.
It's pretty hip.
Pretty hip? You can smoke if you like.
No, sir. I don't need no smoke.
We'll have to get your full name in here. They left one space blank.
Joseph Carruthers Jones. But they mostly calls me Joseph Jones, because Joseph Carruthers Jones is too long.
That middle name is spelled C-U-R-R-U-V?
That's T-H.
Oh, Carruthers. Joseph Carruthers Jones. That's quite a name.
It's my mother's name. It ain't no new name.
What did you study in school, Joe?
Well, I'd be learning the same thing everybody else do.
Such as?
Math, science.
Have any hobbies?
Yeah, I kind of be working with my uncle on weekends. It's not really a hobby, it's kind of a job.
More like a job. And what did you do there?
Well, we used to gig on cars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we sometimes be checking out clutches, you know, and brakes and carburetors. The thing, you know, the automobile thing.
Oh, that's great. Because it seems you've scored very highly on the mechanical aptitude section of our test. I think you ought to work in our machine shop.
Yeah, but that's not what I want to do. I can't be no mechanic.
Well, let me tell you a little about the mechanical training program we have here.
Yeah, Mr. Petrie, I don't want to do that. I mean, I'm really interested in having a desk job and a nameplate.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't gonna have none of that in no kind of tool shop. Then I'd be coming in with overalls and stuff. And I want a job what means something.
Mm-hmm.
My mother don't want to see me in no overalls and grease, and I ain't interested.
That
in
seems to be your strongest area, though. And I think you should capitalize on your strongest features rather than going into an office job.
Yeah, but my father do that. And my uncle do that. There ain't no way I'm gonna do that.
What did you say you studied in school, Mr. Jones?
Hey, man, I told you that. The same thing everybody else studied. You know, that's why I come here. I mean, I went to high school and got a diploma, and now I'm supposed to get the kind of job I'd be chasing.
Well, we've got you on file now, and if anything comes up in the area you're interested in...
But wait a minute. You mean you ain't got no office jobs for me?
No, I'm sorry to say right now we don't.
Yeah.
Well... Have a good day, Mr. Jones. It was good seeing you.
Yeah, thanks.
Goodbye, Mr. Jones.
He the one?
Yeah, man. He done put the hurt on me. Give me a smoke.
Here you go, baby. He a blue-eyed devil?
Yeah, just another hunky, man. Wanted to give me one of them labor jobs. You know, like working on a machine or something. Didn't say nothing about all them office jobs in there.
This articulate young man obviously begins and ends his interview with great limitations because of his dialect. His speech carries no respect. In fact, it generates negative attitudes. This makes it very difficult for the interviewer to make a fair decision about the qualifications of such young people as Joseph, whose dialect substantially limits their choice of jobs. In other countries, dialects are often used and accepted and enjoyed.
And what did the lass do after that remark?
She looks me direct in the eye and replies, "And why should I be looking up your kilt when the bunny fair man at the bar just bought me a scotch? You're a cheap rat, that's what you are." And she tosses her drink down like a guard and whoop, she prances to yon bar. Oh, Owens, I hope that shipment arrived from Marcus Brothers.
No, sir, it didn't.
Give him a call, Scotty. Find out what's wrong.
Good old Marcus Brothers. Late again.
These men slipped back and forth from the Scottish brogue to standard English. What's interesting is that among themselves they spoke in brogue. But when a fellow worker entered to discuss a business subject, they used standard English, which was what was appropriate for that situation. Why, then, is black dialect frowned upon?
William, would you like another drink?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Say, did you see the play last night?
I certainly did.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was marvelous.
Yeah, it was rather good. I thought the acting was superb.
Charming.
Can you imagine the reaction at a mixed party if the black head of the history department turned down a martini from his white hostess with,
"If you had asked me before, I might have could. But I'm toe up now."
It would cause a mild riot. The middle-class black must be careful of the language he is using, or rather, which language he is using. Only a few black Americans have been able to operate freely within both cultures, using both languages. Such men as Martin Luther King often used features of the dialect.
The eradication of slums is far more complex than integrating buses. This is where we are at the present time. And it is in this context that we must understand the so-called white backlash. The white backlash is merely a new name for an old phenomenon.
Now, you know some funny things are happening here in Alabama already. Have you heard any of these candidates talk about segregation? They kind of go over that issue now. They're not even campaigning.
It was his means, and a very effective means, of speaking directly to the culture involved. On the streets of black America, there is no choice. Life and its meanings only come alive with the dialect.
Hey, Treetop, what's happening, baby?
Hey, now, fish out, man. Ain't nothing happening.
Man, I ain't seen you for a while.
Look like you done even put down your barber.
Oh, baby, hush. Look at yourself. Look like your bush ain't been shaped up since the coats went out of style.
Well, you know, man. Where you staying at, baby?
Well, Dig, I stay on Green Street, but I be up on 43rd.
Well, well, how you taking care of yourself nowadays?
Well, Dig, I got me this little old hame, see, but... Wow, man. Only thing is, I got to hang it up.
What's wrong, baby?
See, I got this here new boss.
You mean you got yourself a Mr. Charlie, huh?
No, man, it'd be worse than that. You remember Irvin Taylor? He a cat used to work with me.
That dude. Yeah, I remember that jive split.
Well, dig, man. That boot done tombs himself right on into the form of the outfit.
No, man, you don't mean that Shine is popping the bullwhip down at the plant.
Yeah, man. That Oreo and his handkerchief here itself be down on my back all the time. I can't cut it no longer, man. I got to keep on pushing.
Yeah, he was always walking around trying to act like Whitey and talk proper and whatnot.
Right on, man. On the job, see, he be brown-nosing every Whitey he see.
No stuff, man.
Oh, yeah, man, he be too much. Hey, man, but dig, I got my bread today, so I'm gonna make it on down to the club tonight. So listen, man, you better get with that gig, because there's gonna be some stone foxes there.
Right on, baby, me too. I gotta check out this gig, you know, so I can lay one of my fine raps on one of them fine mommies.
You ain't kidding, baby. That's why I'm fixing to get me some new shoes.
Dig it. I would say you need to do something about them ashy heels.
Hey, now,
and
look,
them holy
baby.
shoes that you wear.
Don't you worry about a thing, Jack, because I'm gonna be clean tonight.
Dig it.
The colorful dialect of the ghetto is full of identity labels that can only be completely understood when one has lived with black experiences. In the dialect, there are many words for black attitudes and behavior. They involve cultural rejection, social deception, and overtones of meaning that cannot really be expressed in standard English. It is a sad and tragic comment on the American scene that most of these labels are negative and are used to classify the black in his relationship with white society. The expressions used in this conversation included boot, jive splib, Oreo, shine, tom, and handkerchief head. There are many more. The word Oreo, for example, is the brand name for a cookie. Black on the outside and white on the inside, Oreo is a severe put-down. In a similar vein, white attitudes have forced the black into being extremely color conscious. He has countless words for skin color, ranging from bright to smutty black, and uses them freely for self-ridicule or to express pride. Middle-class blacks meeting to pass along the same ideas would first off be inclined to use less spirited language. Actually, they would find it difficult to communicate the same ideas in standard English. This same scene, translated into formal standard English, is stilted and uncomfortable.
Hello, Harry. How are you?
Hello, George. Just fine.
Boy, I haven't seen you for a while. Need a haircut, huh?
Well, yes. But apparently so do you.
Where do you live now?
I live on Green Street, but you can usually find me on 43rd.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you working at all now?
Yeah, at the moment. But I'm planning to resign.
Oh, really? What's wrong?
There's some friction between the new supervisor and me.
Why? Is he prejudiced?
No, it's more complicated than that. You remember Irving Taylor? He worked with me.
Oh, yeah, the black fella. Yeah, I believe I do know him.
Well, he's worked himself up to foreman of our department.
You mean the brother has actually gotten himself promoted?
Yes, he makes a point of harassing me.
I can imagine. You know, he always did act kind of snooty.
He tries to ingratiate himself with everyone, especially the white workers. Yeah, it's really overdone. Hey, listen, I'm going to a dance tonight. You should be there, because there's going to be some pretty girls around.
I know, I intend to be there too.
All right, well, I'll be on my way to shop for some shoes.
Yes, I see you really could use a pair of shoes for those feet of yours.
Oh, you'll see. I'll be looking much better tonight.
Okay, we'll see you a little later.
Black dialect is an expressive, vivid, living language. If we reject it, how little have we gained? And how much have we lost?